Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality Radio. As you all are aware, today is the 11th anniversary of 9/11. So there's been a whole lot of propaganda and everything, of course, going on TV today with all their bullshit.
And, oh, man.
You know, we wanted to do a special show tonight.
Hello?
Just kind of go over everything. I'm getting a little echo on my speaker. I don't know why.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
While you're fixing that, figured I would bring something up. You know, last night I was watching one of these, propaganda things, and it struck me as weird as a guy came up with about, I think it was 200 guys, all workers, all construction workers. And they wanted to help, you know, with the pile or whatever. And they were sent away. And then he said, you know, this is not a recovery mission. This is a job site. And, you know, that struck me as being a very profound statement right there. You know, it was just saying like how, you know, as the fact that he didn't mean it like that, but, you know, the fact that what he really, you know, was being turned away from a controlled scene, you know. And that's pretty much the whole, you know what I mean? Out of that, it's, you know, the guy was showing up from another state, all these people, and told that, he was told over the phone that they would need help, then he gets there, and then they turn them all away and say, we have, you know, enough people. Well, all those people, you would think that they would want as many as possible.
Of course. There,
especially people that have skills in one, you know?
Of course, especially if there were really like 50,000 people, like they say there were, you know.
Oh yeah.
Of course, you wouldn't want all those people.
Yep. I don't know. It was just one new thing that I noticed just from, you know, watching the mainstream propaganda reels that every year they spin over and over again to make Americans cower in fear and think of the boogeyman and want to wage war against every Islamic country or every town country or that's pretty much the point we're at now, you know, and it's disgusting, you know. I'm sure I probably lost a few so-called friends today on Facebook just for. And, you know, I didn't get too deep, just posting the regular stuff, and it's like, you know, I'm sorry that that you can't even look up this stuff for yourself, you know? On the other side, though, I think there is more people that are realizing that the official story is bullshit, so that's the good thing.
Yeah, that's always a good start, but that's just, I mean, just to start at the beginning, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but when most people, you know, wake up and realize that the official story is a bunch of bullshit, it's usually something like loose change or in plain sight, which they had their good things because they did wake you up and make you want to look more, but for a lot of people, they took it as, like, gospel, and there's a lot of disinformation in those movies, a real lot. And they're actually telling as big of a lie as the government and the mainstream media is. It's just another side of it. It's another gatekeeping way to keep you from what really happened on that day, which is basically a huge media hoax. And we'll get into all of that. We have tons of evidence.
As much as I totally agree with you 100%. But the thing is, as many people that totally still believe that it was Muslims, you know, that's the first ones. And once they get over that hump, you know, then, you know what I'm saying? It's when people still think that 19 Muslims strong-armed four planes and rammed them into three buildings, and, you know, then there's still a problem with that,
Dude, it'd be hard to believe that would happen with one plane. You would think a bunch of guys would get up and take these guys out. They got box cutters. Box cutter? Are you serious?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You might get a few lacerations or something, but these guys were supposedly a little skinny, you know, most of them anyway. That guy, the so-called Muhammad Atta that we've been shown, you know, I think I can probably, you know, twist him up with one hand. Even with a box cutter, you know, I'm just saying, it's just hilarious that people believe that a flight with 50 plus people on it couldn't jump on these people, and after they learned that a so-called, you know, that a plane crashed or whatever, you know what I mean, into a building that they wouldn't.
Doesn't make any sense. I think the whole angle about all these people, like these Islamic people, wanted to kill themselves to go to heaven and all this. I think that's very overplayed, and they just, like, didn't make them scarier that way. Yeah. Who's going to really fly a plane into that building? I don't think every Muslim's lining up to do that, you know?
No, and the fact of the matter, I think it's just like over here, where, I mean, you know, you might have somebody every now and then that, you know, that does a suicide by cop or something. But you know what? I mean, imagine that your family just got slaughtered or something like that, you know, or something, or you know, maybe you're mind controlled or something. So you decide, maybe there has been a few examples of real bombings over there, but for the most part, I don't really believe that these people are going around blowing themselves up on buses and whatnot. I don't know. You know, like I said, it does happen, but I would guarantee that 9 out of 10 times that we hear about this shit, it's just total bullshit.
Oh, total bullshit. Total bullshit. Somebody in the chat room, cool, what are the rules? What do you mean the rules? There's no rules, buddy. You can ask whatever you want, you know? We don't have rules yet.
Brian, could you send me the chat in the Skype box? Just because my browser's still...
Yeah, let me get it up there for you. I think one of the points I wanted to start with today is... why don't we just kind of go a little bit chronologically and kind of show people some of the things leading up to 9/11, like a little bit of the predictive programming and how obvious it was that they were planning an event. Because there might still be some people here that are kind of on the fence about, you know, whether, you know, the U.S. government did it or whatever. I would hope most people wouldn't be, but maybe we'll go through some of the predictive programming that I kind of wanted to get right into Flight 175. If that's cool with you.
Yeah, no problem. Here I wanted to bring up one thing first, you know, before we even talk about predictive programming. And that's the facts on the table that, you know, right away in June of that year, you know, we had CNN reporting that Osama bin Laden, who was supposedly at the time one of the most wanted men in America.
It's not only reporting, but in his eye out.
Right. American whatever the hell Bill Cooper called him, dipshit reporter, whatever, happens to you know, this reporter from CNN can find this guy, but CIA cannot. You know, all these, you know, the Mossad, all these Western agencies cannot find this guy. You know, and it's really just. It's really just hilarious, and of course, you know, I give it to Bill Cooper for pointing, you know, that out. Especially back then. I mean, obviously, most of us probably weren't awake then. Some people may have been, and it must have been a very lonely time. I'll tell you that. But the, you know, the main thing is though, is, you know, to really believe that this reporter from CNN can go into Afghanistan under Taliban leadership, supposedly, and find the most wanted man in the world and interview him. To me, right there, you know, that just screams like obviously something's going to happen soon and be blamed on this guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, obviously. Guys, I'm going to drop you guys a link in the chat right here. I want you to check this out. And I'm just going to go back and show you how this thing has been planned out for over 30 to 40 years. Okay? Check this link out right here. And these are all different TV shows and movies, cartoons, comic books that all had the Twin Towers destroyed. Now, the Twin Towers weren't even the most popular buildings in New York. I mean, people would say the Empire State Building, or they would say the, you know, the Statue of Liberty or something like that. If you click on that link that I left to the chat, guys, and just we'll go through this real quick, because we've done this before, but, I mean, look at the movie Armageddon in 97. Look at the towers on fire. I mean, how reminiscent of 9/11 is that? And then just below it, you got the Super Mario Brothers movie. It looks kind of like the Judy Wood theory, with the towers disintegrating, you know? And then you have the TV show Friends, who originally had a real image of the Twin Towers up there as their intro, and they were made to change it in the late 90s and replace it with a very CGI-looking background. Very fake-looking background. Beavis and Butthead, they're in two airplanes flying around the World Trade Center, each of them with a bomb in their hand, dressed with turbans on their heads.
And also, let me know about the Beavis and Butthead thing. That was before, that was like one of the first uses of the word Al-Qaeda. You know, so the fact that they even, I believe they even named Osama bin Laden by name in there. So, I mean, you know, just the fact that right there they're even saying that, you know, just go ahead. I just wanted to bring that up, though.
So, guys, just scroll through. I mean, it's everywhere. Even Gone with the
Wind. Matrix.
The Matrix. This Gone with the Wind poster is from National Lampoon magazine in 1975. And look at where the fire is in the two towers. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So they've been planning this for a long time. You know, one of the things they did. Okay. Let me get back to the regular page here. Let me close this. Now, the thing with the truth movement, okay? The truth movement gets set up, and it's really set up to create a lot of division. Some people just stick to their one theory, and they won't look at anything else. You know, they'll just beat it to death, and they won't give everything a fair shot. And as a matter of fact, most of them are out there to deceive you. That's what they're there for. They made a really, really big deal about this thing called what they call no planners. They try to make no planners sound crazy. But aren't almost not all 9/11 truthers no planners in some respects? I mean, most people don't think a plane crashed at the Pentagon or Shanksville, do they? You're just not allowed to be a no-planer for New York. And that's kind of strange. And then the more and more you look at it, when you finally open your eyes to it, and you're like, you know what? These people are right. You know, these people are absolutely right. There were no planes in New York that day. And I want you guys to click the link just to the right of the chat. It says The Real News Online, 9/11 Anniversary 2012, right above the Call Me button in red letters. I'll copy and post it in the chat, too, so you guys have it. This is going to be our follow-along page, so we can show you some different evidence and everything. I'm just opening it up right now. All right, here we go. Here's the kite plane must hit steel video, okay? If you guys remember, this will be the last thing, then I'll get right into the planes. Right when 9/11 unfolded at 8:46 a.m. or whatever time it was, the president was reading a book, My Pet Goat, to these kids in a California classroom. Justin, why don't you explain it a little bit? I feel like I'm doing all the talk.
Okay, Well, anyway, as George Bush sat there in this Florida classroom, you know, reading to a bunch of kids. Well, for one, he had the book called My Pet Goat. For those of you that have any esoteric knowledge, it's pretty much a joke on us and everybody else about the goat being the Baphomet, or, you know, another version of Satan, I believe you would call it. And anyway, at one point he's even holding it upside down. But anyway, to get into it, he has these bunch of school kids, you know, mostly black attack young inner city school kids, and he's got these kids, you know, doing a chant. He doesn't have them doing it. The teacher has them doing this exercise. Now, the words that they picked out for this exercise, really disturbing knowing what was taking on at that same time that day. If you know anything about the occult or esoteric stuff, you realize that the kids were actually participating in this ritual. And what the kids were doing was actually, you know, part of a spell, which is sad, but, you know, that's what it was. They're taking their energy, and putting it into this. They thought they were learning, but in reality, now the words that they used, that they had them say, the teacher was pointing to a blackboard, to one of those whiteboards, whatever you want to call them, and she had written, a plane must hit kite steel. And the kids were saying it over and over again, you know, repeating it as part of the, part of the lesson or whatever. And I just found it very strange that they chose this, these words for that day, and just, you know, the whole part of it. And of course, as we know, Bush sits there for 7 minutes after Andy Card supposedly tells him that the country's under attack. You know, regardless of all that stuff we already realize about, but, you know, so that whole thing was another part of the whole ritual that was 9/11, you know, and it's disgusting. That's one of the more disgusting aspects of it, if you ask me. So, I don't know. That's pretty much all I have.
Nobody could have a right to offer. I would definitely.
No. And if you haven't seen it, maybe watch it during our next, you know, commercial break or whatever, but it's definitely worth the watch.
Yeah, it's only 2 minutes. I'm going to play it for everybody right now. Just have a listen. And then later on, if you want to watch during a commercial, just watch it again. And it's George Bush in the classroom on 9/11. The events of 9/11 are about to unfold, and he has the kids chanting, kite plane must hit steel. I mean, it's like the most absurd thing. It's absolutely pretty disturbing. I'm going to play that right now, guys.
Get ready to use all these words on this page without making a mistake. You get the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
King.
Yes. Sound it out. Get ready.
King.
Sound it out. Get ready.
King.
What word?
King.
Yes, kick. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steel.
What word?
Steel.
Yes, steel. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, play. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kick.
Yes, kick. Get ready.
Steel.
Yes, steel. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Those of you who speak your reading up on your feet, open your book up to less than 60 on page 153. At the count of three, open up on page 163. As the yellow fingers on the bottom, you drop it. Thank you. Everybody touch the title of your story. Fingers under the title. Get ready to read the title. The Fast Way. We're waiting for one number. Get ready.
The pet go.
Yes, the pet go.
Pretty disturbing, huh?
I would say.
Plane must hit steel. Plane kite must hit steel. I mean, that's a little bit. That's a little bit too coincidental. Right before it happens.
Yeah, a little cryptic. I mean, you know, and just five words there, and at least four out of the five have significant meaning. Some may say all five do, but regardless, it's those words to be random words that they're, you know, that they've chosen to say. I'll almost bet my bottom dollar that that was, you know, passed down from someone, you know, somebody in the government to that teacher as part of the syllabus for that day.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure she could come up with it on her own.
No, I sincerely doubt it. And if she did, then obviously she's a perp as well. I wouldn't want to think that, but who knows nowadays, knowing what we know. My guess is that she's probably just a, you know, a bystander that was probably told, hey, you know, why don't you say these words? They probably gave her an excuse, like, you know, you could practice them beforehand. You know, I almost wonder nowadays, you know, people like that, to ask them how they feel about that. You know, how do they feel about being involved in a some type of Luciferian ritual or whatever. But, well, I don't know. That's pretty much all I got to say about it. What did you wanted to talk about next? Hello?
Sorry, I was still on mute. I want to get into Flight 175 next. Flight 175 is just it's an absolute joke. It's so easy to prove that it's a farce. And I kind of wanted to address the whole no plane thing and how that's really the disinfo in the movement. Why don't we take a quick 3-minute break and we'll come right back. And as soon as we get back, guys,
sure,
we'll start talking about the flights hitting the buildings, okay? You listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook. Okay, everybody, thank you for sticking with us during that brief break. If you weren't here for the beginning of the show, you missed a little bit of the 9/11 predictive programming that we covered. But I have that set up on its own page. You guys can always go back and look at it after. It's not a big deal at all, but it's a lot of blatant destructions of the Twin Towers before 9/11. And some of them are really eerily similar to what we saw on TV, at least that day. I want you guys to all open the 9/11 anniversary page that I set up. You can either click it up in the toolbar or, you know, whatever, open it up, a separate window and open it up there. That way you can still have the chat going and stuff. And we have some evidence here I want to follow along with you guys. Josh, are you here? Josh, I must have you back in.
Yeah, no, I was here. I was just muted.
Oh. Right now we're on the little follow along page that I set up for today, and the first thing up on the agenda here is the Flight 175, and we've got a few of the classic pictures, you know, the ones that I always have, and then I got the video from CNN, which you guys can pause yourself. Okay, it's not even hard to do. Just hit the pause button at the right time, and you can actually get the plane embedded more than halfway in the building, and neither the building or the plane is broken. Now, just think about that. Try to rationalize that, and think of how stupid it is to call people and say no planes hit the towers, mentally challenged, and this and that. I mean, just look at these images, guys. Look at the first one on the left, okay? You have a plane that has its complete nose, about half of each wing, completely in the building, and the building is totally undamaged. How is that possible? It's not possible. You know it's not possible. Same thing in the video that's to the picture that's to the right of it. You got about, you know, a good third of the plane stuck in the building, and nothing's broken. And, you know, not just the planes. I mean, look how undetailed the buildings are. It's almost like they have no windows. They have this washed-out gray look to it. Look at the jagged edges and all the smoke. You see the jagged edges on the smoke, guys? This isn't a real plane crash. This is Hollywood. That's all this is. And we have some video that's going to prove that they doctored this even further. Justin, you got anything you want to say about these two pictures? Like, I these are the pictures that I think people just, they can't debunk. They have to just avoid it. I have it as my screensaver on my computer. So
I don't really think that, no, there's nothing really I can add, you know, as far as that goes. Just pretty much it's, you know, kind of speaks for itself, just how the building's not even, you know, how the building's not even torn up yet, and it's the plane's halfway in it, you know. I just think that's, you know, enough for me personally. Go ahead.
Oh, it's an absolute joke. And for anybody out there that might be saying, oh, how do we know you didn't doctor these pitches? You guys are all welcome to take your time, like we have, go online, go in the official TV archives, and yeah, it's a lot of work, okay? Go in the official TV archives. They're usually divided into like 10 to 15 minute segments, okay? Now, we know the plane crashes were like 8:46 and 9:03, I believe. So you just look in those time segments, and you'll see them, and this is the same footage that they aired. I think CNN actually didn't air this until 2 days later. But this is the same footage that the networks aired. This isn't anything we did. You'll see the same thing on there. Oh. I want to pop the chat back up for a second. Is there anybody that's not getting that this, you know, that can't be a real plane? I mean, there's just no way. Just tell me how. How could that, even if the thing was doing, okay, they say it was doing 500. That thing could be doing 5,000 miles an hour, okay? If it smashes into the building, either parts of the plane are going to be broken, and the building's going to be attacked. Parts of the plane and the building are going to be broken, or a whole bunch of the building's going to be broken and the plane went into it. And I don't see where there's really a fourth option there. I really don't. We've got some great stuff on Flight 175 that I want to show you guys. Let me just find where it is here. Scroll down a little bit, guys, okay? Just scroll down. There's two side-by-side videos here, okay? They're both short. They're both depicting the same angle. They're both supposed to be from Michael Herzakani, who gave his footage to CNN. And this is the Flight 175 taken from Battery Park, allegedly, okay? Now, it's bad enough that they're showing you a doctored video in the first one, okay? For those of you that don't know where we are right below the two pictures we were showing you. It says CNN exclusive 9/11 World Trade Center. That's the first video we're going to play. And then we're going to play the one on the right of it. They're only a minute long each. And you will actually hear the one on the right. They're actually going to dub in extra audio for more dramatic effects, and there's going to be a guy going, oh my god, a plane! I can't believe it! And they actually added this into the DVD footage. The amount of tampering that goes on with this footage is just simply remarkable. I got some great videos for you guys tonight, so make sure. Justin, are you in the chat?
What's that?
Are you in the chat?
No, it's just, I'll be going there in a second, though.
Okay, I'm just going to make sure everybody knows where to find the videos. I'm just going to throw the link in the chat for you guys, just in case you didn't hear me earlier. Here's the link. This is where we're at. Everybody click that link, please. You won't lose this page. It'll open a new page. That's where we're at. We've played the plane must-hit steel kite video. Then there's the two images of Flight 175 where it's halfway embedded in the building, okay? Now we're getting down to Michael Herzakani, who was an alleged amateur photographer. He took his footage and he gave it to CNN. And then later on, it was re-released on something called America Remembers DVD, some sort of propaganda that they put out. And in the footage, they actually doctored it even further. And they added audio of a guy saying, oh my god, a plane. And I'll play the CNN one right now just to for you guys to hear it. Or if you guys want to press play and follow along, whatever. I'm starting it right now. It's the same footage. Take a look on your screen and look how big it looks. Comes the approach. Same angle.
commercial by my cleaning.
Oh my god, a plane has just crashed into the building. I cannot believe it. Can you even they had the audacity to actually redoctor the footage and add it in? That's just awful. That's just awful. Justin, you got anything you want to say on that? You've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. Right? And, guys,
no,
we're going to play one more video, and then we'll do a lot more talking,
yeah,
we promise. Right below that video we just played, there's one that says, sure, there is a plane on the video on the right, but what happens to the entire background? This is the one major reason why I think that maybe they really did set off one explosion in the building. This video, you're going to see the plane approach in both videos, okay, split screen, live and on the evening news. And then on the evening news, you don't see it on the live. You just see the camera panning the right way, and then you see an explosion. You don't see a plane at all. And then on the evening news, you see the plane coming, right? But as the plane's coming in, the whole background completely disappears. The river, the boats, the houses, whatever the hell's back there in the distance, I can't really tell because it's so far away. You'll actually see the whole backdrop disappear. Now, just tell me how that happens in real video. That doesn't happen. The whole backdrop doesn't just disappear, but it still picks up a 500-mile-an-hour plane in these two buildings and nothing else. The whole background turns white, guys. We're going to play that video for you right now. There's no audio on that one. People are going to have to listen to that during the break. The other thing, guys, that you have with the planes, right? Before we even get into Flight 11, which is absolutely ridiculous and totally debunkable, okay? Just with Flight 175, you have all these different trajectories. I got a couple videos up, and we'll watch them later. I'll have you guys watch them during the breaks so we don't just keep playing videos while we're trying to talk. The Flight 175 has like 10 different trajectories depending on who's taking the video. And just tell me how that's possible in a real event. It's not possible. The plane's got to go in the same direction in every video. Yeah, they're going to have different vantage points. The angle could look a little bit different. But you literally have Flight 175 coming into the towers, right? And this one video we call the dive bomber, and he literally descends like hundreds of feet, then straightens out at the end, smashes into the tower. Then we have another few that go straight in. There's even one that's coming in low and actually ascends and goes up and into the tower. Justin, isn't all that just pretty absurd itself?
No, I'll tell you what. I don't know. While we're sitting here and on the eve of 9/11, I can't believe how many people out there are really just still won't even look into the basic, just to the little things about this. Never mind the nuances that we've gotten into after years or, well, in Brian's case, not as long, but, just as much. He's packed enough time into it of watching video and everything else. But the people that won't even look at it, just the cognitive dissonance of the people out there, I just can't believe it. 11 years later, that people are still afraid to question the status quo. And again, too, don't you love it how once a year, all of a sudden, all these people that don't care about 9/11 the rest of the year, they come out with these big patriotic statements about, well, what about the rest of the year? What about, what are you doing for these victims or whatever the victims of the wars, the soldiers that are coming home and blowing their heads off because, they've been pumped full of drugs and have seen horrible shit at the behest of our government. That's the thing here, guys. It's not like it was just a one-pronged thing that happened that day and it's over. No, this lie is still being used today. This lie is still being used to start more wars. Look, I believe they brought up 9/11 as far as talking about the possible invasions of Iran, Syria. Just yesterday, now I know you guys out there are gonna laugh, but I believe that they said that the number two guy of Al-Qaeda was killed. How many number two guys of Al-Qaeda are there? It seems like every 6 months there's a new number two that gets killed. You know, it's hilarious. It really is. It's like when you start with this and, you know, and then I want to bring up another thing too while Brian's trying to fix up his headset or whatever, but the fact that Al-Qaeda is a made-up entity, you know, that was made up by the Central Intelligence Agency and the Mossad. That was a boogeyman. There's nobody in the world that calls themselves Al-Qaeda unless they're just an idiot that doesn't, you know, there's not an actual faction out there of people that go by the name Al-Qaeda. That's total propaganda bullshit. And that was done just to, you know, to give us the idea of this enemy out there that, hey, anybody can be Al-Qaeda type of thing. And, you know, and we have this enemy that has no numbers, but we're just going to keep spitting out bullshit every couple of years to remind you that Al-Qaeda is still out there. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. Even if, let's just say the official story is true, which it's not, you know, they hate us for our freedoms and this and that. Well, to be honest, how many freedoms have they cost us compared to our own government with the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, the fact that we have cameras everywhere? In another 10 years, people will be letting them put cameras in their own houses just to keep them safe. You know, that's the thing. It's, you know, it's so much more than this one day. But all the lies from this day have been so ingrained in people's heads and make them so scared of anything. There's people that won't go to New York on vacation or, what, you know, or not vacation, but won't go sightseeing in New York because, you know, they're worried about terrorism. And, of course, the Empire State thing a couple weeks ago reinforced that. You know, and it's just the fact of look at it nowadays. Look at the kids that grew up. I was just talking to a buddy of mine before the show. And he was saying, he's like, think about it. If you're 10 years old, all you know, and you're 11 years old, all you know your whole life has been war. You know, I'm 31. And, you know, for a good, yes, there was covert wars being fought, but not like nowadays. And they just accept it. And they just play their video games and become, you know, drone pilots. And that's what's happening. You know, they're being slowly indoctrinated into the wave of the future where it's just going to be machines going to war and killing people and eventually machines killing machines and the eventual transhumanism of people being, you know, actual part machines and everything. I know it sounds crazy, but this is where we're heading with, you know, with the Agenda 21 and the transhumanist agenda. I'm sorry, I got off course a little bit here, but I just got a little rant. I just wanted to say that because you know what? How many people nowadays are just living in total fear? And it's just disgusting.
Okay, yeah, everybody can hear better now. All right, guys, let's go back over to the page we were on, the anniversary 2012 page for 9/11, and I know that while we were going on, just resetting it up, Equinox put some images up for us of the different trajectories of the plane. And I have a video later for you guys to watch that's got a ton of different trajectories. Now, just answer me this. No matter what kind of plane it is, or it could be a flying school bus,
a flying,
okay?
Winnebago.
If 15 or 47 different people... Yeah, it could be a flying Winnebago,
yeah.
Okay? With, the guys from friggin' Spaceballs in it. if you have, even with 47 different photographers or videographers, whatever you want to call them, they have to depict the same event or it's not real. Like, they have, I understand people have different vantage points. Some people are up higher than others. And the angles will be a little bit different. But this video is of the plane coming in at, like Justin said earlier, like a 45-degree angle, and it drops like 200 feet in the matter of seconds, and then it smashes into the tower. And then this video is of the very same plane going straight in.
The whole time.
It stays underneath the smoke line of the tower. There's other ones where it crosses through the smoke line of the tower. And there's other ones that,
no,
in a
exactly
sense, up
you're,
and goes
like you're
into
saying,
the tower.
It just, you know, it just goes straight in. You know, it's ridiculous.
And that play we're talking about is 175. And that's the one that they used to try to distract you with, talk about the pod and the flash and all this other stuff. And it was really just distracting you from realizing the video is fake. I mean, you have a plane going into a bit, and nobody can explain it. And people can call me crazy, call me whatever you want, but you can't debunk it. I mean, you can't have a plane smash through a concrete steel building, and if it does, it's going to leave a hole right away, not 18 seconds after. Now, I have some great footage here from the Naudette film. If you guys aren't familiar with the Naudettes, then the French filmmakers that supposedly followed the New York firefighters around for a few weeks making a documentary on firefighters, and then 9/11 just happened to happen, so they had that, you know, that was like their big break. Well, they had one of the only known footages of 9/11 hitting the tower, and they were just standing in the right place at the right time. You're supposed to believe it. Yeah, they just happened to be. Now, I'm going to show you a video. This video is so damning, okay? You got to watch it a couple times, and I got a couple still grabs to show you after that come off the video to help you understand it even better what's happening. The plane's going to hit the building, okay? Now, when we were shown on TV, we were shown this big hole in the building shaped like an airplane where the right wing extended all the way to the right edge of the building. But when you watch this video here, you see the plane blow up, the explosion's more to the left, and you can also actually see after about 18 seconds, you can see the animator actually drawing the line in that represents the hole that the airplane made. You can see a black line being drawn in, and I'll show you a still grab from like 6 seconds after the plane already blew up, and there's no hole in the building. That hole's got to be there, either not there, or there right away. It can't just appear, you know, 6 seconds later and then extend itself out to take the form of an airplane in 20 seconds. That's just absurd thinking. I mean, it really is. Let's see. I'll make it easy on everybody, and I'll throw the video in the chat here. There you go, guys. I'm sorry. I got too many windows open. It's just absolutely absurd. This isn't all their own footage, guys. This isn't, like, stuff that we're putting out there or anything. You can dig through all their documentaries. They all have tons of mistakes. And the reason being is because it's basically a movie. Basically a movie. You know? Here it is right here. Check that video out, guys. Or, you know what? It might show up bigger for you on the other page, actually. Go back to the 9/11 anniversary page. That video is pretty much, it's about three spots underneath the still images we were showing you of 175. It says, so the plane penetrated yet there is no hole, from the Naudette film 9/11. You can actually see them draw it in with a black line. A black line. I mean, you can see it. It's absolutely ridiculous. Now, you know, after looking at this for a while, you know, you scroll down a little more, you'll see the still images of it. The one from 6 seconds after, you can clearly see that no plane hit there. Okay? Absolutely not. There was no plane that hit there. Okay, that's 6 seconds after the impact. And then 20 seconds after, all of a sudden, it's there. And if you go back and watch the video, you can see it drawn in. So what does all this mean? Now, this is Flight 11. The other one we were showing you was Flight 175 that was stuck halfway in the building. The building wasn't broken. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's computer-generated graphics. It's like a movie or a video game. It's not a real airplane. Why do you think there was no evidence of a real airplane? Think about it. And besides that, guys, come on. You guys all know that those airplanes can't take down those buildings. You have to be an idiot to think that. 110-story building, that's why they build them out of steel and concrete. It's strong as hell. And it was made to withstand that.
Oh, yeah. That was
that's the video they played a lot.
Larger-than-life fireball, the one that was supposed to be etched into our minds forever. You know, the one that we, you know, that everyone's supposed to think of. Besides the collapses, it's even more damning than the collapse. If you think about it, that picture right there, what is etched in people's mind when you think of 9/11? I would say the first three things would have to be, depends, different for every person too. The planes, 175 hitting would be number one. Number two would have to be the collapses. And then number three would have to be the jumpers. And those are the three things that they use to totally desensitize Americans into thinking whatever was necessary for them to, you know, to do it. And all of them have pretty much shown to be fake, in my opinion. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I noticed somebody addressed in the chat that John Leah thought it was holograms. You see, the problem with that, guys, first of all, that's a lot harder to do than just to put it on TV and make it like a movie and split it up into a news script, which is what they did. But how would the hologram theory hold up to the video we played earlier of the 9/11 evening news where they have a plane inserted but the background disappears and, you know, you have the live shot and all you have is an explosion? Well, if it was a hologram, the background should have disappeared in that video on the right. It was a computer-generated image. It wasn't a hologram. You know, they don't need holograms. They have television.
Just to get over the fact of you may ask, well, how did these, you know, so-called amateur people get a plane? Well, as we've seen, all the amateur footage of these so-called plane hits were released years after for one and for two. They're all from the same trajectory. And then also, along with that, you know, what we believe most likely happened was that there was some type of jammer, you know, or some type of EMP device that disabled anyone else's cameras from, you know, recording anything like that. And that was the way that's how everything that you're going to see is stock footage. And that's pretty, you know, even as far as the amateurs go, obviously, you know, I don't know if there's any, you know, anything real out there. If there is, I'd love to see it. But, you know, I don't know. Everything we've seen so far looks computer generated as far as, you know, especially with the plane hits, as far as that goes.
Yeah. Especially once you first find out. It takes a while to find out, like, you know, that you're looking at a computer-generated image or this was totally fabricated. But once you see one, you kind of get an eye for it and you start to notice different things. But, I mean, I think the Flight 175 being halfway in the building, I think that should be enough for anybody to question that being real footage. And it's not just the plane, guys. We're going to get a lot deeper than the planes. And this is, you know, this might scare some people off, but I'm sorry. We're here to tell the whole truth. And pretty much the whole scenery of New York of what you saw was staged. That's why when you look at the towers in any of these pictures, they're all, like, washed out and gray-looking. You can't really see the windows. There's no detail to them. And there's all types of other graphical errors they made throughout the day that we'll get into as we get a little farther into the show. They'll show different street scenes, for instance, and there'll be like a light post on one, but it won't be on the other, or there'll be a building missing, or a building out of place, or a building will have too many floors compared to another one. It's just totally ridiculous. Like, there's a ton of mistakes. I mean, there really is. There's a lot of mistakes. I'm pretty sure they probably thought they could get away, and they did get away with it. It's been 11 years so far, but I think people are starting to wake up to it a little bit more. Some of the comments I see on YouTube are a little more promising than they used to be. Like, there'll be a video up there, and people are right, oh, that's a fake. But what I wanted to do now, Justin, if it's cool with you, is I wanted to get into the Flight 11 stuff and the slow motion of the Dade strike, the drawing on of the animation, and the still images of the hole in the building. So if you guys scroll down a little bit in the left column, okay, You'll see a real white looking World Trade Center with the nose out shot. And then underneath that, you'll see it'll say 9/11 World Trade Center 1 strike slow-mo HD. I want everybody to take a look at that, okay? And we're going to watch it. In about a minute into it, okay? This is after the plane hits. I shouldn't say a whole minute. I don't know how long it was. But after the plane hits, there's a good amount of time that goes by. And you can literally see the black marker-like type thing being drawn on the side of the building to represent the hole. And then after we watch the video, we'll look at a couple stills of it. So if you guys are all there now, I don't know. Where's everybody in the chat at? Yeah, alright, so guys, go to the, you know where the page is. If you don't know where it is, just scroll up top. It says 9/11 Anniversary 2012. Click on that, alright, and we're going to watch this video. WTC-1 Strike Slow-Mo HD. And this is the Oganowski plane, Flight 11. This is the first one that supposedly hit. And you're going to see the animator actually draw the hole on. There is no hole from the airplane. And I know I've said it like 10 times already, but that's pretty remarkable. There's no hole from the airplane. And even if there was, it was like the explosion was way too far to the left. The way they did it, it was just kind of sloppy. I'm going to play it now. Go full screen, guys. There's the explosion. There's still no wingtip extending to the right. You can see the couple of right columns. No wingtip extending at all. And then I'm going to show you some still grabs from this so you're even more sure. Now you can check all this yourself, guys. This is all in the official archives. As far as I know, they haven't really taken anything down. Videos have been pulled off YouTube constantly. But as far as the TV archives, I think they remain pretty much untouched. But you see the building there. You see, here comes the hole, here comes the black line now. He's about to draw it. Here it comes. I don't know if you guys are about where I'm at. I'm at like a minute now. He's drawing the black line in right now. And that's the wing-shaped hole. Simply amazing. Now, it's fine if they want to try and pretend that it made a wing-shaped hole, which it probably wouldn't even do anyways. The plane would probably fall to pieces. But to have it appear like 30 or a minute after the plane actually impacted the building, there it is. You know, a minute after the plane impacted the building, I mean, that's just absurd. Totally absurd. Now, if you guys just scroll down underneath that, you'll see the two still images from it. You'll see 6 seconds after the impact, there is no plane. I know you guys can see it. You see how you can see the steel girders? You can probably see at least like 10 of them. The wingtip should have already pierced through there. The plane is already in the building. And now look, at 20 seconds after the impact, amazing, it's there. Isn't that just amazing, you know? Good. Chris Kendall's going to join us in about 15 minutes, guys, so that'll be good. And I guess our audio sounded good now. The other thing, guys, I mean, after you see something like that, I mean, Justin, what could play devil's advocate here?
I guess the devil's advocate would be the Burmese excuse of saying that, you know, was the, what did the guy Mangan say that called in that was trying to say, that it was what is it, Brian? The shot. Yes, the frame rate. Exactly. Yes, that's the devil's advocate.
The frame rate.
Their only excuse is.
And that doesn't make any sense because with the pod and the flash, the cameras could pick up a flash, but they can't pick up the plane going into the building. I mean, come on. People act like 2001 was the dark ages of photography. It really wasn't much different than 2012.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? And there's some people out there that'll say, oh, well, I'll believe it when I see a high-definition image of this. Well, that's the whole point, guy. You're probably not going to see a real high-definition image of it because they purposely kept those out, just like they did with the moon hoax. That way you can't, when they make little errors, they can blame it on video artifacts and things like that, or low definition, or, you know what I mean? They don't want it to be crystal clear to you. And, I mean, who's going to question them on that? Nobody's going to question them on that.
No, nothing really.
Do you have any questions in the chat, Justin?
You know, it's pretty much some people are just saying, you know, as far as, you know, they're in agreement as far as the official story goes being bullshit. And I said, well, you know, yes, we're all in agreement with that. But if there's more to the story, you know, since all of us here are awake, you know, I don't think anyone's listening to us that hasn't at least seen that the you know that the original story we've told is completely full of holes. But you know we've come up across, you know, other information and what, not just us, but you know a lot of researchers have, and you know a lot of people that are out there have seen this information too, and we're just trying to, you know, get it to a larger audience. You know, we're not saying that anyone is, you know, necessarily wrong for. You know, like, obviously it's great to, if someone is a total, you know, I don't mean to use the word sheeple, but if they're a total MSM drone that believes everything they see on Bill O'Reilly and you just get them to realize that the official story is bullshit, great. But then, you know, later on, some people want to know more, you know, and that's pretty much what we're doing. And, you know, I understand it's not for everybody, not everybody wants to know the intricacies of it, but, you know, there's a lot of good information here that has been covered up by certain people, and the reason I think for this is because we're going to be seeing a lot more of these events and stuff where, you know, CGI is used, where, you know, there's fake victims, where there's, you know, things like this, and I think to not address these things is just going to make the people out there looking for truth not find these when it happens in other events. And that's, you know, that's pretty much my main thing. Like I said, I have no problem with people out there that are, you know, educating people on, you know, passing out DVDs and doing whatever and, you know, the Building 7 stuff, because I totally agree. If you're sitting there listening to Fox News or MSNBC all day and that's new info for you, great. You know, I encourage people to watch Loose Change. It's just afterwards. Once you understand that, yes, this was a big hoax to get us, in the Middle East for perpetual war and to take away our freedoms and to rob the country of trillions of dollars. You know, I think everybody in the chat can agree on that. You know what I mean? But as far as bringing it, another level, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's the thing. And for so long, so many in the mainstream truth movement have said, you know, anyone that believes no plane theory is full of shit, and we agree, you know, we disagree with that. We look at it otherwise as far as, you know, yes, it doesn't have to be the first thing, but as far as it goes, you know, I love it too how the same people will say, well, there was no plane in Pennsylvania, there was no plane in D.C. They agree with us on that, but they refuse to agree with it on New York, and the reason is because how would all those people not see planes? You know, or how, what about all the witnesses that supposedly saw planes? And to be honest, I don't know that we've come across credible witnesses that have actually, that, you know, that have seen planes. And for the most part, if, say you even were close enough to get a glimpse of that day, most likely, If it was traveling at 500 miles an hour, which it, you know, I it's just pretty much impossible for that plane to do at that height, then most likely you would have looked up at the last second and heard a boom, and probably just because of the suggestion of seeing it so many times on television, you're going to say, yes, I saw a plane, because you were so there, you know, closer there, and you want to be part of the history and everything else. And I think that's another big thing. You know, I've been at this now for 7 years, and, you know, and I've gone through every theory possible, and, you know, I think that what, you know, a lot of has been uncovered in the past, few years or so, as far as, you know, building occupancy rates being down, and parts of these buildings actually being pre-demolition and hollow. You know, a lot of this stuff is information that, you know, if you want to know the whole story, hey, we're on the anniversary. Why not hash it out? You know, like I said, I have no problem with your data. The guys down in New York passing out DVDs and flyers, hey, they do a great job. I actually would have liked to join them. I didn't have the money this year. That's my opinion on it all. But I just feel that, you know, why not look a little deeper since we, you know, have found some more information on this, you know, watershed event, you know, pretty much.
Yeah. And I noticed that in the chat we had some new people here tonight, so some of you guys might be thinking, oh, well, let's get out of here. This is the same stuff we already know. We know the plane crashes were fake. Or we're going to get a lot deeper than that, though, because there was a lot more than the plane crashes were fake. At least most, if not all, of the 3,000 death toll number was faked. And there's a lot of evidence behind that, at least showing it on a lot of the victims. We'll get into that right after the break. We'll get into the Social Security Death Index, which if you look up any of your dead relatives or friends or whatever in the Social Security Death Index, 9 out of 10 of them are going to come up, okay? If you take the 3,000 names from 9/11, you'll only get like 200 or something names that'll come up. And it's really quite remarkable. And then the thing that I think is some of the most stunning evidence, which we have up for you guys, is the blatant photoshopping of victims. They would take an alleged victim, and to make them appear that they had a picture at another point in time, they would literally photoshop something next to them with their arm around them.
I hate to cut you off, but EQ wants to call in. I told him
anytime.
There
were some real blatant ones. Yeah, he's calling right now. Hold on. Oh, EQ and James Sloan are calling. Hold on, put them both on. You guys both on?